afternoon. Today is Friday, November the 15th, 324th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is St. Bernard's president slash principal, the man in half black. Okay, closer to two-thirds, Dave Sharp.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Johnny Cash fan?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Good. I just want to make sure that you're emulating somebody and this isn't just a fashion statement unto yourself.
There will be a picture. We're taking some family portraits this evening, so...
Oh!
Yeah, I mean, if you like it, I can get you a picture.
Oh, autographed?
I'm not sure.
Okay. This afternoon, we're talking a bit about open house and also where do students come from? It's a little bit of a historical step into where the school has evolved over the past decades. Mm-hmm. And I guess evolution is probably a fair phrase to use. So we'll talk a little bit about that and I'm sure a bunch of different things also when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Let's see. We've got H.G. Wells and we've also got Mordecai Richler. Your call.
Oh, my choice? Oh,
yeah.
Wells.
Okay. That's just because you know that one. Last words of H.G. Wells. So that must have been in 1946, because that's when he died. Quote, go away, I'm all right.
Wonder how that turned out.
Yeah. I don't need any doctors.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. So how do you deal with the anticipated at school?
How do I deal with the anticipated?
Yeah.
That assumes that we know what's coming.
we
certainly try to prepare for that, of course. I think that it's pretty typical. You got 180 days in the school year. You know, you've got your calendar all laid out. You prepare as best you can with what you know, and that of course is having good people that know their stuff and can, you know, certainly navigate the easy times, the anticipated, and you know, have some wisdom and insight when you need to, you know, solve a problem.
So then how do you take those ideas, those plans, that roadmap, if you will, and apply it to the unanticipated?
I think to me, really, it comes down to the people and the experience. You know, we've got a teacher with over 30 years experience, and we've got some younger faces that, you know, it's just mixing the right people together so that, you know, not every situation is the same, but you know, there's certainly lessons from previous situations that you can apply to current ones. So you know, when we hire and when we interview, we make sure that, you know, this is a person that's, you know, not just out of the book, but they can problem solve and, you know, think out of the box.
Has the culture changed?
The culture at school?
I'm thinking somebody who, closer to my age than your age.
Okay.
Okay, so let's say went through in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If they had buddies or if they went through St. Bernard's at that time,
mm-hmm.
how much has the culture changed? Not the players, because right. obviously those have changed, but
Certainly.
The culture of the school.
Well, to me, a couple things. First, St. Bernard's culture, a word that comes to mind is community. Whether you're a graduate from the class of, you know, 2013 or 1973, I think you had a pretty similar experience in terms of, you know, you had maybe 35, 40 other classmates. You got to know them very well, and you either plan on staying in touch with them, or you've had that experience where you've stayed in touch with them over the years. I think that has not changed, and that's a culture that's embedded in the school, just given our size and you know, the care and quality of our teachers. I think, you know, maybe stepping into the school today, a big difference from that era would just be, you know, we don't have the sisters teaching. We don't have that presence like we used to. We are fortunate that both of our religious education teachers are deacons in training. So they have, you know, a very good experience and can apply it to religious education. Plus, we also have a school chaplain, Father Greg. So that has worked out very well for Mass and for our religious education. So, yes, we don't have that presence, but we do have just some great people that carry that charisma today.
As you look at some of the planning for the anticipated, mm-hmm. what are the areas where is the experience going to evolve into in 20 years from now?
I think you stick with what you do best, and what we do very well is provide that safe family, community-oriented atmosphere. And that's just something that, you know, new teachers come in, they feel that right away. And it's the same for students too. You know, we've got some students that have transferred in this year, last year, that, you know, you look at them, you know, 3 months into the school year and you're like, you've been here for 3-4 years, right? It's that feeling that, you know, you're a part of something quickly. And that's a testament to the other students and the teachers that are very welcoming and inviting to that community and not making it exclusive, making it one of, you know, invitation and participation.
Is that part of that source for students that you were alluding to a little bit earlier, is that there are enough that are coming who haven't been from kindergarten on up through wearing the uniforms and everything, so when they do come across, they're not by themselves?
Oh, exactly. That's a very good point, because, you know, we are really preschool through 12th grade. The number of students, let's take last year for example, we had 3 students out of 50 that had gone through the school since preschool. So you've got, you know, many years where students can come and go, and when they come, it seems to be that they come be a part of the group very quickly.
KINS News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Dave Sharp.
Now I'm going to Sunshine for Humboldt. The North Coast Repertory Theater is now celebrating its 30th season with 6 treats for Humboldt audiences. First is the George S. Kaufman Moss Hart Pulitzer Prize-winning comedy, You Can't Take It With You. Then the musical, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, based on the Peanuts comic strip. After the holidays, there'll be a double feature straight from ancient Greece, the murderous tragedy Oedipus the King and the comedy Women in Congress. Next is the side-splitting Complete Works of William Shakespeare, a parody in which all 17 of the Bard's plays are played in 97 minutes. Late Spring features the North Coast premiere of the popular Les Miserables. The season ends with The Poor of New York, a melodrama from 1857 of the problems of a middle-class family not all that different from today's. For dates, times, and details, call 442-6278. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic organization dedicated to the people and events that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp. Dave, you talked about the student population, and I think for folks, most are probably aware to a certain extent of the international kids. Because mm-hmm. you see them walking around. Yeah. They're from somewhere. Okay. It's those kids from St. Burns.
Yeah.
There's that kind of, if you're in the general Eureka area. But if you're not, you're probably not seeing them too much. Mm-hmm. What is the background of that element of the student population?
Mm-hmm. These are students. We're a school of about 270 from kindergarten through 12th grade. And there's a group of about 40 international students. I love to describe the international students as coming from a variety of different countries, and that's something that we're working towards. We actually have, we now have a German student, we've got an Italian student coming, but primarily our students internationally are coming from China. Typically, when somebody is first introduced to that concept, they're like, oh, okay, great, some exchange students. Well, no, not quite. They're here to be regular students and spend more than a semester or a year here. And so that comes, with that comes you know, being a part of not just the school community, but the larger community, getting out, walking around Henderson Center, you know, finding the restaurants. And this year, they've done a good job of getting outdoors, hiking, and doing some team building exercises, because in China, it's pretty individual. It's you get high test scores and, you know, you solve problems on your own. That's a little different here. You know, you work on teams, you work together to solve problems. And that's been something that we want to, you know, introduce culturally to them as well.
How long does it take before these kids begin to grasp mm-hmm. the concept of not individualism, but more of a community, or reliance on others might be an easier way?
It certainly does take time. And I think a lot of it depends on their background. We do see a handful of students that participate in sports. Basketball is very popular. We have quite a few international students that have gone out for basketball this year, and an increasing number actually of football players that are Chinese students that want to play football too. So I bring that up because that's, you know, a great introduction to team concepts. And
yeah, having your butt handed to you in public, yeah, there's a bonding that happens.
Right, they'll pick you back
there's
up.
There's no way to emulate that one.
And the other thing too is that the coaches speak English, so the plays are in English. You know, it's a good English building exercise for them to just be surrounded by it. If you want to get on the field, you got to learn the plays. You got to know what everything is. So I think that helps them come along, understand the team concept, and get better at speaking English.
Now, you mentioned Italian. That's a new wrinkle into the equation. Is this a military kid whose folks were stationed in Italy, or is this an Italian culturally, and you'll be having that experience similar to what you've been having with some of the Asian kids?
This is kind of our first foray, I guess, into the Mediterranean, if you will. This is going to be a student that's just going to be with us for one semester. Kind of a, you know, test the water and, you know, see how well we can, I know we can handle it well, but just, you know, what are the differences? What do we need to prepare for so that when we do have a greater variety of students from other countries, you know, we'll be better sensitive to a global perspective.
But I hate to say the phrase, but a real Italian.
A real Italian.
Kid, rather than something else.
I learned of this Wednesday, and our director of international missions couldn't pronounce his name, so I'm feeling that it's a real Italian. If you want to,
it's not Luigi.
I think the first name was easy. The second name was
tough.
More
yeah,
difficult.
Well, that's it'll be interesting. How are you going to be able to prepare to assimilate that student mm-hmm. into the regular program? Because they will really be an island unto themselves mm-hmm. unless they get stuffed into this and everybody's playing nicely in the sandbox.
Right. Just introducing them to, you know, perhaps some Italian families that we have a common bond there is a good idea. And, you know, and also kind of see what their goal is too. I mean, do they want that experience? Do they want that American experience? Or are they just kind of there to, you know, study and kind of, yeah, keep the
or
outside?
Or are they sent because mom and dad sent them?
Right, I'm stuck.
Yeah.
Deal with me.
The level of motivation of the international kids versus those who are American born. Mm-hmm. Is the motivation different, or is it the priorities that seem to be a little different?
Okay. I would say, comparing the two, our international students, a lot of the motivation comes from their parents. Their parents are very strongly saying, you go to America, you study for 2 or 3 years, you get into a good university. Okay, go do it. And there's a lot of pressure.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out, kind of thing?
Well, you know, stay in touch, give us a call every once in a while. You know, but, you know, a lot of our international students come from very well-off, wealthy families who, you know, mom and dad work pretty long hours. So, you know, it's helpful for us, for a school like ours, to be able to, you know, take these students in and educate them and house them and take care of them, you know, worlds away.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Dave Sharp.
Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with St. Bernard's President, Dave Sharp. Dave, when you have the open houses, I know you got one coming up in the next little bit. Mm-hmm. How do you explain to somebody who, let's say, is a Humboldt County native, how their kid or kids are going to interact with those international kids that we've mm-hmm. been talking about? Mm-hmm. What are the expectations, benefits, challenges, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff? Mm-hmm. How do you present an integrated mm-hmm. picture of what they can anticipate?
Well, I think if somebody is forward thinking enough and they're thinking about, you know, Humboldt County is a small part of the state and of the world, that, you know, eventually it'd probably be a good idea for my son or daughter to, you know, get out of the area, get some other experience in a different part of the country, and, you know, in today's world, even a different part of the globe. So if you live in a small rural area like Humboldt County and you're not really getting that exposure to other, well, cultures and people, so to come into a school like St. Bernard's and to have that element be a big part of our school, that element being an international student population, and that's going to help out your students, you know, learn about other cultures, maybe learn, you know, the beginnings of a new language, and get you ready to compete on that, you know, more global playing field, where when it comes down to college admissions, you know, you're not just competing against, you know, those classmates that sit across you from you, but those that are not just across the country, but across the globe too. So I think in a sense it's eye-opening, but it's really preparing them for what they can expect. You know, those forward-thinking parents and students that want that next step, that next challenge.
When the families are sitting down and they're looking at the total package that's offered, the mm-hmm. academics, the challenges, does the international student raise the bar of expectation at the high school level? Or are they there, but they're not there?
I would say, by and large, they raise the bar. Just as you have different motivations among, you know, 30 freshmen from Eureka, you're going to have different motivations from 30 freshmen across China. So, but by and large, academics is something that's ingrained in them from a very early age, and not just, you know, a school day that ends at 3 o'clock, it goes until 7 or 8 o'clock. So, you know, that's, it's interesting to see them come over and enjoy some of those freedoms when school ends at 3 o'clock. Okay, what do I do next? You know, some study, some play video games, some participate in sports. Is that much different than our students? Well, not really. But, you know, so on the other side of it, it's interesting for our local students to see, okay, that's a student that went to school from 7 o'clock to 7 o'clock and then went home and studied some more and went to bed at 11, did it all over again. Can I have that level of dedication to achieve the success that I might want?
When you mentioned earlier that a lot of the international kids don't tend to have that sense of community. Hmm. They may have a sense of family,
yeah,
but the sense of community. During the open house, do you stress for those who are anticipating or interested sending their kids to St. Bernard's that part of this is for them to develop those relationships and help you understand some of the international, but the international to help understand a little bit about our area and break down some of those things that are lacking on both sides?
Yeah, great point. I think you're totally right. You know, that is a lesson that we can certainly learn about being open and inviting to everybody. That is certainly something that, of course, we preach it. I mean, we, in our open houses, to kind of paint the picture, all of our teachers attend. You know, they're all standing back there. You know, they're ready to talk to, you know, a student that's, let's say, that's interested in art. You know, great, you're a great artist. Come talk to our art teacher. Develop a connection there. But it's really about, you know, look at all these teachers. It's 6 o'clock. They should be home, but here they are. They want to get to know you. They want to answer your questions and get you interested in St. Bernard's on a personal level.
If somebody hasn't gone to an open house before, when they did, they were the target of opportunity rather than their kids. What is the open house designed to accomplish?
Well, it's really to tell the story of St. Bernard's, and the best way to tell that story is really from the student's mouth. We've gone through, you know, a couple years of open houses where it's, you know, me speaking, another adult speaking, another teacher speaking, which is nice. You're getting a lot of information, but
you have to wake the kids up then.
At the end, yeah. Well, we keep it short, but now we're going to have two high school students talk to the group. One of them is a student, a freshman girl that's been with us since preschool, and you know, she's going to kind of tell her story about, you know, how she got here. What's good about the school. And then we also have a transfer student that came to us last year. He's a junior, and you know, he's got a great story to tell too. So, you know, between those two times, between preschool and high school, there's, you know, different journeys, and we all come in at different times.
So the kids are going to be able to share their experiences, I would imagine. What are your expectations out of an open house? Do you expect people to commit at that point? Do you expect them to say, yeah, interested, go to the next step, have some fun, share some food, that kind of stuff? I mean, what does the school, why does the school, any school, have an open house?
It's really to turn interest into commitment, okay? So, oh yeah, I know about St. Bernard's, I've heard some things. Well, let me just get inside the walls now and see what it's like and meet some teachers, meet some students, and turn that interest into, okay, let's go to the next step, or, you know, where do I sign the application? And, you know, for some it might be, you know what, this might not be the fit. This, you know, I'm glad I learned more, but, you know, maybe look at the other option. But by and large, most people come to open houses, get more information either for transferring in at the spring semester or next year or a couple years later when it's time for junior high or high school.
How tough is it to transfer mid-year?
Not very difficult. We've had a number of students come in mid-year, mid-semester, and our teachers are going to spend enough time with them to get them caught up, give them that attention that they need so that they're not behind the rest of their classmates.
KINS, News and Information Times, 343. We'll be back with more from Dave Sharp.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46, final segment of the week. This afternoon, we're spending it with Dave Sharp. Open house, your expectations are there. Certainly there's nervousness on the family side. You know, is this right? Does this make sense? Can we afford it? All that kind of stuff. What should people expect if they're arriving other than hearing from a couple of current students?
Well, they should expect to walk through the school, to be invited into the school. You know, we'll have some drinks and hors d'oeuvres. And to just walk around the school, get a sense of what it's like. I think a lot of us speed by the school on Henderson Street and kind of imagine
legal speed.
Oh, maybe 31, yeah. 32. And you know, what's it like inside? So a tour is a big component. The speaking part is not great. The you know, the walk around, the personal connections is the important part. So, you know, we certainly invite everybody from, you know, preschool age to sophomores and juniors in high school on December 4th at 6 p.m. at St. Bernard's in the school auditorium. So, yeah, we're looking for a good turnout. Usually winter is a good time for us to get people interested either in that transfer or that following year. So
do you run into anti-Catholicism?
I don't think that the first impression usually doesn't go that direction.
I mean, when people hear that you're the guy, you're the St. Bernard's guy. Yeah, I'm Catholic, you know, I've never run into it directly.
Right.
But I have so many people say, oh, yeah, it exists. Oh, yeah. So there's probably a soft that I've run into, but, you know, I don't recognize it.
Uh-huh.
I just was wondering if the school has ever run into or experienced that, whether a funny letter, a weird phone call, I guess now email and all that kind of stuff. If you haven't, it's cool.
I would say my experience is similar to yours. No one directly says, you know, this, that, or the other thing. But it's kind of, you know, there might be those underlying tones that are, okay, maybe drawing you into an argument rather than a constructive conversation.
Well, the thing that triggered is I heard, you know, with Kennedy's 50th today, mm-hmm. there was one of the things this morning in the CBS News. It was, oh, that Catholic president, not my president. And then after the death, America, my president has died.
Mm-hmm.
Just that juxtaposition and running into and you know, we're both a little too young to remember that, but just didn't know if the school had run into that much at all. Mm-hmm. Either during open houses, you're probably getting people who are motivated, but mm-hmm. just general stuff, the athletic competitions mm-hmm. or some of the community things that go on at the school or the school's participating in.
Well, I guess if we're going to put labels on people, what a great label to have, you know, that Catholic president or.
Yeah, I could wear that one.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
I'm not president, no.
Oh, right, okay.
No.
Do you have some ambitions and announcements?
He is the president of the school, stop that one before you even think about it. That was weird how easy it came off your lips, though. That is frightening.
I was saying at another level, higher level.
Oh, okay. You weren't thinking that.
You were, yeah.
Good. I feel so comfortable when I'm around you and you don't think. So again, the event is the week after Thanksgiving.
Yep. Wednesday, December 4th, 6 p.m.
Okay. And you just show up, or is there a program you have to be there at 6? Or is it one of those you just kind of can pop in during a couple of hour window?
Come at 5:55. Yep.
There you go. And parking?
Parking everywhere.
Okay. Everything except for the valet parking.
Yeah, right.
Don't quite have that one down. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.